As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Dinner dates are here.
And they're hungry.
Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko. This is Hockey Nation on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Draper with Cicerelli. Kozlov's coming up with him. Dino takes the shot, the rebound, and Draper scores. And with a minute and 5 seconds to go, it's a one-goal lead for the Red Wings.
And we got controversy on the Leaf bench because the rules in these games are no slap shots.
Well, Craig Simpson mentioned that the rules are no slap shots. And Dino Cicerelli took one before. So it was a little bit, if you want to call it controversy, how the game ended. The Detroit Red Wings 4-3 winners on Chris Draper's late third period goal to win the alumni game over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're hoping to hear from Chris Draper, the assistant to the general manager of the Red Wings, coming up in a few minutes' time. Live from the Centennial Classic, you're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko, getting used to our broadcast location. We'll be here for, I think, about 10 hours or a long time tomorrow. 3 p.m. puck drop. And Leafs and the Red Wings will be here at 12:30 for an extended Leafs Nation pregame, then afterwards for Leafs Nation postgame. But first, talk about the alumni game. It was low scoring. Not a lot for Maple Leaf fans to cheer about when they were down 3-0, but then they made a game of it.
Well, they came back I guess we would say, a true Toronto fashion this year. They never, the young Leafs are never out of the game this year, and the same as the alumni tonight. They fell down behind by 3 goals. But, you know, it wasn't about the final outcome of the game, albeit it was exciting right to the final buzzer. But just seeing all these great players out here again, getting a chance to see the guys skate in Toronto, playing against some of the greats in Detroit as well. I mean, it was a privilege to see some of my personal childhood heroes out on the ice tonight, today, or yet today, at Exhibition Place.
Well, just to let you know, I think we'll do it next hour, but you and I had a chance to go after the game and talk to the likes of Boreas Salming and Dave Ellett, Gary Roberts, and Ally Afraidy, Mike Palmateer, and got a lot of good memories about that. And we'll hear from Gary Roberts, too, talking about, and we'll ask Chris Draper about it, the first potential fight ever in alumni game history.
I was hoping it was going to happen. It was awesome. I mean, you just see these guys and the competitiveness that they do have still, regardless whether it's a NHL regular season game or alumni game. These guys were two combustible players that just don't like losing. And Draper and Robs get into it with each other. And, man, they were serious. And if you were a lip reader, you would have heard Draper. You could have seen what Draper was saying there. It wasn't a happy new year to Gary Roberts, I can tell you that.
Well, 3-0, Red Wings had a lead. Then Wendell Clark scored to make it 3-1. I know Ty Domi got the third goal to tie it up. And then I guess when this stuff happened, Ty came off the bench.
He did. He came off and he kind of intervened and said, hey, whoa, settle out. He just, you know, that's habit. I mean, that's what he's used to. So even though he's been removed from the game competitively for a while, it just, the instincts took over. He came off and he kind of meddled his way in there, and then Joey Kosher came off. He made his way over as well. So interesting fireworks. Didn't happen, but it definitely made it interesting.
So Ty Domi, of course, as well. We talked about that. He was he didn't wear a helmet as well. Ty's always got to be a little center of attention.
Well, one of the best parts was he was going down one on one with Chris Chelios, and he was going down the wing into the Detroit's zone. And Chelios goes towards him, pretending he's going to hit him, but then he just pulls his hat off his head and throws it back at him. So it was that type of fun stuff that was going on today.
Just a reminder, next few minutes, we are going to give away our first of 2 pairs of tickets. We'll have 2 pairs of tickets to give away.
And we will give away some this hour, too, after we talk to Chris Draper.
We'll do that after we talk to Chris Draper. So anyway, we will. That's producer Matt Brown, by the way. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko, Matt Brown. Emil Delich also on site here as pretty good weather. We were there 3 years ago in Ann Arbor. And it was, we were warm, we were fortunate, but boy, it was quite an ordeal traffic and weather-wise. So today actually was great weather conditions for those that made it out for the alumni game, and looking like it'll be more of the same tomorrow for the actual hockey game. So anyway, 2 pairs of tickets to give out to the alumni Classic, or to the Centennial Classic. We'll do that again over the next
it
2 hours.
It was an Alumni Classic today. Those
alumni
guys
classic,
had a classic
Centennial
game
classic.
Today. They were great.
But too late to get tickets because that's all said and done. Before we get Chris Draper, obviously for the Maple Leafs, road, sweet road. Five road games they've won for a while, and they'll be looking now to see what they can do kind of home sweet home tomorrow. Chris Draper, busy guy, played this afternoon, now scouting the Team Canada, Team USA game. So, Chris, I know we only got you for a few minutes during the intermission, but assistant to the general manager, but you get the game-winning goal. You almost are involved in the first fight in alumni history. What a couple of hours you've had.
I said it before. I mean, those outdoor games, I know, you know, obviously it's an alumni game, but it's I absolutely enjoy myself to be able to hang out with, you know, a bunch of my former teammates, you know, guys that we had, you know, shared a lot of success with. Is fantastic. And, you know, just for me growing up in Toronto and going down to Maple Leaf Gardens and obviously growing up watching the Leafs, and then to be able to come back here and play an outdoor game at BMO Field against the Toronto Maple Leafs, it was fun day. Now I'm split over to the ACC and watching Canada-USA right now.
Okay, so what exactly happened with you and Gary Roberts?
Oh, it's just, honestly, like, a lot more is being made of it than probably he and I are. We just, you know what, we went out, we played, you know, like that's, yeah, you just kind of, it's, listen, at those games, you know, when, you know, you go out, you're having fun, and then probably, you know, like the last 10 minutes of the game, the intensity level is going to pick up. Yeah, you know, you play, both teams wanted to win. I think it was turned into being a pretty well-paced third period. So that was it. I mean, we just went out. I know on our end, like Dino Cicerelli, I believe, had a little contact with Danny Markoff, and then, you know, Gary Roberts and he and I had some contact and exchanged some stuff, and that was it. It was just going out playing and loving the game and kind of missing the game, to be honest with you. That's kind of, I think, what that was.
Chris, we actually couldn't really get the audio of what was said, but there was some nice footage of, if you could read lips, I believe you said Happy New Year to Gary when you were leaving the corner with him. But we talked with him after the game as well, and he said the same thing. He goes, just things get heated up, and in the heat of the game, things happen. And regardless of whether it's an alumni game or a regular National Hockey League game, sometimes that competitiveness just doesn't leave the bloodstream.
Well, that's, I think that's why, you know, you look at the guys that were on both benches, I believe that's why, you know, we all played as long as we did. Just the, you know, how competitive we were, how intense we were, how much we loved the game. And that's really, you know, that's really what it was. I think you can kind of see that the pace was picking up. You know, we got out. Once they kind of tied it up, you knew it was going to be a great push right to the end of the game. And that's obviously what it ended up being. But, you know, we have to go for dinner here, a 7 o'clock dinner. So I think everything should be under control, and we should be good to go and have some fun. You know, it's like I said, Toronto did a great job. The NHL does a great job of these things, and awesome to be a part of.
Drapes, the best thing that you could do right now is if you go for dinner with the Leafs alumni, you get under the table and you shoe check Robs.
Yeah, that'd go over well. Yeah. No, we're going to, you know what, it's been a great couple days for us, and we're going to continue obviously to enjoy this. And you know what, you know, for us, you never know when you're going to get a chance to play in another outdoor alumni game. So for me, you know, it's special, and like I said, I can't say enough of, you know, being around the guys again. You know Shanny, Nick, Dino Cicerelli, Paul Coffey, LaPointe, Halpy, you know, I mean, you go down the list of those guys, and it was a great day for us. Really enjoyed it. I'll tell you, the ice was great. The venue's awesome. And I know, I'm sure both the Leafs and the Red Wings are looking forward to getting out and playing that tomorrow. It's just a real, real cool spot.
Yeah, we won't keep you long, but let's talk about that game. A Red Wing team, you got the string of 25 consecutive years in the playoffs, had a bit of a slide, and now won three of your last five games. What has been going well for the Red Wings? What needs to pick it up a bit in the second half of the season?
Well, ideally, we'd like to get healthy. You know, I think we obviously have some key guys, Darren Helm and Justin Ablegator. You know, two of our most competitive players are out. You know, so that's a big void. You know, we're missing two top six. But you know what, for us, You know, we have done some good things. Our power play certainly has to find a way to get better. And I know, you know, the guys that go over the board, certainly they take a ton of pride to go over there and try to score. And the coaches are always trying to do new things. So I think those things have to, you know, that's a big factor for tomorrow's game and us moving forward as well. But we just got to put something together. You know, like you said, we won three of our last five. So we got to get on a bit of a roll here. If we can put some wins together, we can kind of get ourselves back in the mix in our division and into a playoff race. And that's obviously what the team wants to do for sure.
Chris, we'll let you get back to Team Canada, Team USA game, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have a great day, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Chris Draper, assistant to the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. Gord Stelick, Todd Alusco, Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and also very involved, to say the least, in tomorrow's game, the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, Jeff Blashill, joining us on Hockey Nation. How are you today, Jeff?
I'm doing great, guys. Just enjoying this World Junior game. It's been a pretty good game. I'm a U.S. fan, so far for me, it's been a pretty good game.
Yeah, so far so good. We'll see how the next period goes. Hey, I want to talk about your Red Wing team, but, you know, maybe talk about the alumni game. It was a close one, and it's always great to see some of that feistiness come to the surface at the end.
It's unreal. I know Chris Draper is leading the charge of our alumni game, so I know he was maybe the feisty or the chippiest of the group up there. So, you know, it's awesome to see, though. Like, just walking in our locker room today, we were getting ready this morning. We actually had a practice today, too, and just all the different players that were in there. I mean, you go through the number of Hall of Famers that were in the room. It's amazing. It was awesome. Our guys were coming in as they were kind of going out, and the history of both organizations is so great. It's great to celebrate.
Jeff, you know, with the alumni game today, how much of fun it is, and the celebration that you're talking about coming. I mean, tomorrow you can't lose sight of the fact that you're just looking after 2 points. What's the biggest challenge for a coach when it comes to outdoor games like this to keep the guys focused and their heads in it for 60 minutes?
Well, I look at it more as a great opportunity. I mean, there's no question that it's a different. It breaks you out of your routine a little bit. There's, for me, for example, my family's here. Obviously, my family's not normally on the road, but those are great things. Those should be embraced. The fact that, it'll be a little bit different start, and there's the weather and the ice conditions and all that, those are all challenges maybe, but really what they are is a great opportunity to play in an awesome event. And we understand there's two huge points on the line. And we're playing a very good hockey team. We understand that, but let's embrace the moment. Let's look around and enjoy it. Let's take it all in, and then when the puck drops, let's make sure we focus on executing for 60 minutes, 65 if needed. That's going to be our approach.
I know probably we make more of it sometimes than in the media, but about starting goaltenders, and you've had two guys, you know, splitting the job a lot. We know in Vancouver a couple of years ago, you know, it was an important thing who gets to start in a game like this. Have you decided who's starting it?
Well, we've made a decision, but we haven't made that public, and I'm not going to now. But we have made a decision. The biggest thing is we think we've got three quality goalies in our organization. Jimmy Howard, Peter Mrazek, and Jared Giroux. We felt like that could be a strength at the beginning of the year. We still think by the end of the year it could be a strength of ours. And so to have three quality guys, I think it's important in today's NHL to have depth at every position. I think the depth in our organization has allowed us to maintain a playoff team over the last number of years, and it's going to be a big factor in us getting there again this year. And so whether it's the goalie position or the other positions, that's a big factor for sure. And we know for sure we're going to need elite goaltending tomorrow in order to win the game, and that's true every night in the NHL.
Yeah, Jared Giroux from Billy Smith's old stomping ground in Perth, Ontario, so you can't go wrong with that as far as one of the three guys goes as well. Chris Draper talking, you know, want to get healthy. Injury's always part of it. What part have you liked about your team so far? What do you need to pick up in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of our team that I've liked. I haven't liked enough of the results. I think we've been better breaking the puck out this year than a year ago. I think we've been better at not giving up as many big chances as we did a year ago. So I think we've gotten better defensively. We haven't spent as much time in the O-zone as I want to spend. So we need to do a better job of grinding in the O-zone. And without question, we have to do a better job in our power play. I think we're 30th in the league right now. So, you know, it's been a frustrating thing or a disappointing thing so far. But really, I look at it and say, okay, here's where we're at. if we get a lot better at through the course of the year, we're going to be a lot better team. So let's keep working at improving at it. Let's find ways to get better. Power play lots of times can just be a matter of confidence. So hopefully once some pucks go in, we can gain some confidence from that. But that'll be a big factor on whether or not we end up being a where we want to be at the end of the year.
Jeff, one last question. We would be remiss if we didn't ask if you're going to celebrate New Year's Eve with your good buddy Mike Babcock.
I won't see Babs tonight. My family's here, and so we'll kind of hang low. And I'm not going to celebrate New Year's Eve. I don't think I'll make it to midnight, to be honest with you. We'll be up at it early tomorrow, and I'm assuming he will be too. So I actually haven't had a chance to see Babs here. But, you know, him and I still speak a good amount, and obviously he's a good friend of mine, certainly a mentor for me.
If there was a different imprint you have as a coach, what would it be?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Like a different imprint, different philosophy as a coach compared to Mike Babcock, what would it be? Because you're very similar, both in the organization, develop players well. Do you have a bit of a different philosophy than Mike in some ways?
I don't know. I think our hockey philosophies are real similar. I think that's part of the reason that he hired me in the first place. I think he was attracted to, a lot of the fact we thought alike, a lot of ways, how you train players, holding people accountable, those types of things. I think our personalities are different, and I have to coach to my personality. I can't try to be Mike Babcock, and certainly he coaches to his own personality. So I would just say the differences are on our personalities. We're just different people for certain, but I think our philosophies are how to play, our philosophies are how to train people, our philosophies are how you have organizational success are very similar.
Well, you're both going to knock it off early for New Year's Eve. That means you're gainfully employed in the National Hockey League. So, and enjoy the family being in town. Thanks for making time for us. We'll let you get back to the Canada-USA game. We appreciate it, Jeff. Good luck, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Jeff Blashill, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, well, very well said. I mean, he's probably right. I mean, it's you bring up the point that they are very similar, the way they sound, their mannerisms, everything they are. But at the end of the day, you got to think it's whatever you are. And Jeff Blashill is a different person than Mike Babcock. And I think maybe he communicates to players a little bit differently. Who knows? But, that was an interesting question he asked him. I was curious about that as well. But he gave a very good answer, just saying that it's his own personality, which is the biggest difference between the two of them. The two guys, the way they deal with their players, I'm sure, is probably a little bit different.
Last year when he took over, because you know how he sounds similar to Mike
Yes,
Babcock.
Yes, very much so.
So when I was interviewing once, I kind of kid, did you ever pretend you're Mike Babcock to get a better table at a restaurant? Or you're just say that kind of thing when he's starting out in Detroit. But, of course.
It is eerily similar, though.
I know. And his own kind of personality. Yep. Own kind of challenges. They are... 6 points back of Toronto, nine of a playoff spot, and you're talking about 25 consecutive years that they have made it to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep. No, it's going to be a tough challenge for these guys. I mean, I know that they believe in what they're doing there in Detroit, and the last thing they want to do is miss the playoffs this year. So they're going to pull out all the stops again. And even more importantly, that game tomorrow. I mean, we stressed it. We asked them about how important the game is. It's an event. But, yeah, there's two very, very important points on the table for both these guys tomorrow. And, I think that they're going to take it in maybe the first 5 minutes, warm up, whatever. They're going to see what it's all about. They're going to enjoy the environment. But when it comes down to it, the nuts and bolts of the game is going to be a hard-fought game. And 2 points is essentially what they're looking at the end of the game. The celebrations, all that stuff is great. But if you don't win the game, it's not going to be as an enjoyable event.
Yeah, Gord Stellick, Todd Alusco, as mentioned, we are in our broadcast location. I got the heater a little closer to me.
That thing's pumping.
It's pumping some heat. We're outdoors. It's interesting because it's an empty building, but they're going through some preview. So these people, they would have called the stand-ins kind of thing. They get a chance to walk out and pretend
they're... Kind of a dress rehearsal.
Yeah, whoever's going to get introduced tomorrow. So they're going over whatever opening ceremonies are doing, a dry run that way. Live from the Centennial Classic, Hockey Nation is brought to you by President's Choice. Nothing brings people together like eating together. Join the movement to eat together with President's Choice. Learn more at pc.ca/eat together. That's pc.ca/eat together. And why not give some fan listener out there a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Centennial Classic tomorrow? What caller number do you want to take?
Well, I don't know. Let's go with 10. How about 10? Is that too many?
10 again? Okay, we'll do 10.
Did we do 10 last time? Yeah, we did.
We're going to do 10. We'll do 10. We'll do 10. 870-0590. *590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. The 10th caller will win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Centennial Classic
And you know what, Gord? We're looking at this, and you're making points of what's going on here. The one thing I I would say, is that the sight lines for this game tomorrow is probably going to be one of the best that you get out of all the outdoor classics that you've seen, or winter classics, whatever the name is, this one, Centennial Classic. Because it's the exhibition park, it's, you know, you're right on top of things, so you're not really that far away from the action like you are in maybe a baseball or a football stadium. So the sight lines were really good during the alumni game. So anyone that does come tomorrow, they're gonna really appreciate the fact of where they're sitting, because they are going to get a good vantage point.
You know, that we have good memories. You know, Matt Brown was down there with us 3 years ago at the Big House,
yes,
in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It was an experience. It was an ordeal to get to, an ordeal to get back to because of the weather. But there were a lot of Toronto fans that went, and it certainly will be memorable, even though it was freezing cold. But you were so far away
from, yeah,
because, you know, you got 80,000 capacity there, and we were fortunate. We were warm. But we watch more on TV,
yep,
than the actual game. But here, pretty good sight lines, as you say.
Yeah, a little more.
And right now they're calling for a decent weather forecast as well. Again, a reminder, thanks for Jeff Blashill for joining us. Also, Chris Draper to kick things off. So got a couple of Detroit guests that way. We are going to talk about the 11 games going on around the National Hockey League tonight, including the Minnesota Wild, Columbus Blue Jackets. How about that? It is the marquee matchup on a night when you have Montreal and Pittsburgh playing, and Connor McDavid and Edmonton playing, which is always a marquee matchup hosting Vancouver. But that's going to be something tonight, those two teams. And it's going to be something whichever one carries on. I mean, you're getting into the, 17 is the longest consecutive winning streak in NHL history.
Yeah, that'd be the Penguins in 1992-93 season. They got the record. But yeah, these are two teams that are driven by offense and defense. Not one is better than the other. I mean, both of them are in the top one or two offensively in the league, and in the top three or top four defensively. So whenever you put those two combinations together, it's no mystery why these teams are undefeated through 14 and 12 games respectively.
So we'll see that. Of course, Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid tying as the top points leaders in the National Hockey League as well. I'm like watching these interns in these, some wave and play the camera in their role, just filling in for whoever's going to be it.
And some are just shivering in their boots, saying, get me out of here.
Some, they decided it could be their 15 seconds of fame, and they're going to try to make an impression that way. So anyway, that is it. Something that's going to go on tomorrow. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, our man Matt Brown. What's going on, Matt? Dropping in.
Yeah, I'm just dropping in.
I didn't know if you had an important announcement or that, something to go about.
I always have an important announcement.
Well, I know. So you were full on this morning.
Todd was there with me. We spent a lot of time down here this morning around the Leafs. Some really cool stuff this morning, Todd, with the alumni and the players together, the way they had Nikita Zaitsev beside Dmitry Yuskevich, Marner beside Gilmore, Nylander beside Salming, and Shanahan after the Wings victory in the room said that was one of the things he took from Detroit. Not so much when he came here, he wanted to install, but when he was a player, the time he spent in Detroit when Ted Lindsay and Gordie Howe would come into the room and kind of tell you about what made them play and what the little things were. And he feels like those guys being around the Red Wings were what made those teams be so dominant and Stanley Cup champions. And it's a stretch to say the Leafs are going to do that, but I think it was a neat scene with the kids with the sticks around, getting them signed and stuff like that.
That was cool. I mean, especially I saw, you know, specifically Hyman and Nylander and Marner were walking around with the Sharpies and a stick and getting everyone to sign. And it was kind of like they were in awe, right, of their superstars going up. You know, Mr. Salming, Mr. Sittler, very respectful, but going around and really listening what these guys were saying to him. It was pretty cool to see those guys doing it. And that's all why all the media is in there trying to get a Marner interview. And he's like, hang on a second, I got to go get Sittler's autograph. I'll be right back. Like, it was pretty cool to see that. And that I understand why Brendan wanted to have something like that here in Toronto.
Yeah, and Dubas had a clipboard looking for you. He was wanting to get your autograph.
Yes. I know he's been chasing me down for a while.
You joke about that, but we go into the dressing room afterwards, and what do you hear? Gordy! What's going on, Gordo? Like, everybody in that locker room knows Gord Stellick. He's a legend in there. He eats humble pie all the time and does his thing, but everybody down there was waving to Gord. There was fans. They're going, Mr. Stellick. It was great.
Yeah, Kyle Dubas should get my autograph. I can't find him right now, so when I see him next time, I'll sign it for him. Anyway, we're down the alumni one. You just mentioned earlier that they changed together as far as getting ready. That was a neat part. And also, and we'll hear later on, a number of the alumni and the role that Gary Roberts and Dmitry Yashkevich had, and Nikita Zaitsev signing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear that later on, but he trained with Roberts. Yashkevich brought him to his attention. And those guys are free agents for a number of teams. Like Artemi Panarin was pretty well targeted by every team, and Chicago did a selling job on a number of things that got him there. Toronto had to do a bit of a selling job on Nikita Zaitsev, but a couple of alumnus in that case, and the fact he'd been in Toronto a couple summers was a big part of the sell.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we'll hear about it from Gary a little bit later on, but he really had a nice tie-in with Nikita. He trained with him. He worked with him. You know, and he made him comfortable in this city, and I think that goes a long ways when you're going to make a decision on which team you want to go to. If you've been to a place before and you feel good about it and you feel like you can fit in there and you're comfortable, man, it's going to make your decision a little bit easier.
And a cool story that came that we learned today from Leo Komarov, in that Leo, I asked, kind of you're going around the room asking guys about their outdoor experience when they're kids. Leo just kind of goes, Yeah, I had a good outdoor experience. I didn't play indoors until I was 16 years old. So the first 11 years of his life, he played outdoors. And the little town he's from in Finland actually didn't get their first hockey hall, which is an indoor rink, until 2010.
So he knows cold.
So he knows cold. He was laughing at the idea of the guys wearing eye black and like the Under Armour equipment and staying warm. He just kind of shrugged it off. I'll be okay.
Well, we'll find out. They need him to be okay tomorrow. It's, you know, that game, and again, we'll have a reminder, we'll be on the air at 12:30, extended Leafs Nation pregame, 3 o'clock as the puck drops. So, you know, we'll compare. 3 years ago, it was the road to the Outdoor Classic. Dion Phaneuf signed his contract in Detroit. Remember that?
Yep.
That was part of it. They made a trade that day, John Michael Isles for Tim Gleason with Carolina. Yes. And then Tyler Bozak scored in a shootout. So it was a nice kind of win. And then things went off the rails again.
It was the future of Jonathan Bernier, right? He was the next starting goaltender. He was in net for that game. He was
That's right.
Now he's gone. Phaneuf's gone. Kessel's gone. It was a much different looking team.
And, you know, and chatting there earlier with Jeff Blashill, and the goaltender question, and you mentioned it too, we had to ask it. Because you remember when Eddie Lack started for Vancouver.
Yes.
And that was John Tortorella was the coach. And, you know, Roberto Luongo, that just didn't sit well. It's just a marquee game. This game was when Ilya Bryzgalov kind of went public recognizing he was out in the backup with the Philadelphia Flyers and talked about sitting on the bench with a, what, hot tea or something like that. So, I mean, Freddie Anderson is a guy for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but Detroit, and one of the reasons they are trying to make the playoffs is a bit just the goaltending cavalcade.
Funny you mention Eddie Lack. The Hurricanes have signed Jorge Alves, I hope I'm saying his name right, to a professional tryout. He's one of the team's equipment managers because Eddie Lack isn't feeling well. So Alves is going to be the backup tonight
for the Hurricanes. I would love to see one of these guys get in one of these days. You know, you never hear about those guys playing. These stories are great because they get, it's a dream come true for some of these guys. But at the end of the day, I would love to see these guys get some game action.
Well, you talk about Eddie Lack. We're going to talk a little bit more about Yaroslav Halak, as he is the odd guy out with the New York Islanders situation, as we talked about the Detroit Red Wings situation, you know, having three goaltenders being a little too crowded. But when we come back, we'll take a look at the 11 games going on around the National Hockey League. You'll hear from a lot of the Toronto Maple Leaf alumni as well, live from the Centennial Classic. You're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, Matt Brown, Emil Delich, raw down here at Exhibition Stadium on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I got a couple memories of just skating around, but never playing an actual game like this. So it's exciting to be out there, get to skate on the ice today, kind of get used to it. And then tomorrow come game time, it'll definitely be pretty fun.
Little clip of Austin Matthews as we hear the Toronto Maple Leafs getting set for tomorrow's game, the Centennial Classic. Of course, we are live here at Exhibition Place, excited about all the action going on. Live from the Centennial Classic, you're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko. Of course, a little flavor as we set things up. Talk about some of the interviews we're going to hear next hour. Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of players we caught during the morning as far as getting set for tomorrow's game. And then a lot of guys like the Borja Sommings of the world we got to talk to after the game. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a lot of fun seeing the guys in their element right now in the dressing room, all these guys coming back to see a lot of their old teammates. I mean, that thing's pretty cool when you can go into a dressing room and come back and see all the guys that you used to play with. There's nothing better than that, and I think that's half the reason why these guys do come back is to see their former teammates and to get a chance to skate in an outdoor rink like this. It's fantastic.
Well, like I said, we have a collage of the Borja Sommings, Ally Afraidy. We'll find out from Gary Roberts about the fight that went on with Chris Draper from his perspective, or the almost fight. Ally Afraidy, he's in a bit of a different world, in Al's world. It was fun. He shared it with us a little bit. That'll be coming up next hour. Centennial Classic talk about an alumni game, a 4-3 win for the Detroit Red Wing alumni team in about the last minute of play. We talked about that earlier as well. Meanwhile, take a quick look around what's going on in the National Hockey League. 11 games tonight. Of course, the marquee matchups on Hockey Night in Canada, 7 p.m. Montreal at Pittsburgh as Sidney Crosby takes on the Montreal Canadiens. Sidney Crosby of Jenny Malkin and company. And then at home, Connor McDavid, the Vancouver Canucks visit Edmonton. So we'll have the two top scorers in the National Hockey League on Hockey Night in Canada tonight. A rare Saturday off for the Toronto Maple Leafs because they'll be going full bore tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on the airwaves at 12:30 with Leafs Nation pregame, a special expanded coverage. And then 3 p.m. is the puck drop. So we'll look at some of the games going on tonight, Todd. But first of all, New York Islanders, disappointing loss the other night. And very quickly, Jack Capuano, not kind to Yaroslav Halak's play, and he's put on waivers, clears waivers this afternoon.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and maybe it's not that desperate. Maybe they weren't happy with him. They want to try to, sometimes when things aren't going that well for you as a team, you've got to change something, and you're not going to change 20 guys at this time. You're not going to change a coach. So the next biggest position that you can make a big impact on your team is a goaltender. So sending a message maybe unfairly or unjust for Yaroslav Halak. I know that he got blamed a lot for the last loss. But at the end of the day, I don't think the Islanders team as a whole has played that well. But somebody has to take the fall, and it seems that Halak is the guy that's going to bear all the brunt right now. And we'll see if that sparks the guys to play a little bit more inspired hockey.
Well, Alan Walsh, the agent, a number of months ago, certainly made it public that they did not like the three-goalie system. J.F. Berube is kind of the Frankie Corrado of goalies.
Yeah.
He's been their number three in Long Island because they've been did not want to expose him to waivers, think he'll get claimed somewhere else. Thomas Greiss is also there. So I wonder if anybody picks up Yaroslav Halak. He's got a $4.5 million contract hit after this season. So, you know, the Los Angeles Kings, got to say, with the injury, they've certainly had a very capable backup filling in there. And meanwhile, you know, early in the year when you had injuries in Pittsburgh and a few other places, Varlamov, I wonder, in Colorado, yeah, he's supposed to be day-to-day. But again, I mentioned Peter Budaj playing very capably in Los Angeles. See any possible fits?
Well, I talked with David Bastel earlier this afternoon around in the 3 o'clock hour, and he was bringing up the idea of maybe Toronto interested in Yaroslav Halak coming here as a backup to Anderson and stuff. And we were entertaining a bunch of different players or different teams. And for me right now, I don't know if there's a market for this guy right now for the simple reason of what you said, the $4.5 million cap hit this year and next year. And I don't know. I think that maybe if Peter Budaj wasn't playing as well as he has been in L.A., that maybe that would have been a place that he would have gone right now. But, I mean, I think that the fact that he went through waivers without anyone really, you know, taking a shot at him is telling that there's maybe not a big market right now for the goaltenders, especially a goaltender making $4.5 million who is going to be deemed kind of as a backup right now. I think that this is a situation where there's not going to be too many teams that are going to be interested in it. Maybe somebody's going to come along and say, we'll take him off your hands, but you're going to retain a lot of the money.
That's exactly it. I mean, not being claimed on waivers means teams could have got him for basically nothing, but would have had the full nut, and they're sitting back saying, no, the Islanders are in a bit of a pickle. Let's chat with them a bit, because if we take his contract, they'll have to likely absorb some of it. So yep. Yaroslav Halak right now waiting for assignment, could be sent down to the American Hockey League. Again, we'll keep posted about that. Was sort of the biggest transaction news going on the last couple of days. Meanwhile, who would have thought New Year's Eve, Minnesota, Columbus, wow, as we talk about the 11 games tonight, and you know, Montreal, Pittsburgh, that is a marquee matchup. There's a few more that are out there, but never have two teams with such distinguished, unbeaten records met each other.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
First time in NHL history.
Yeah, it's the first time of any of the four major sports in North America that a team is going to play against each other with at least 12 games of a win streak under the belt. So the Jackets, they won 14 in a row, and the Wild have won 12 in a row. So the Jackets, they got a 14-game streak that's tied for the third longest in NHL history. So in 1929-30, the Bruins had 14, as did the Capitals in 2009 and 10. And currently the Pittsburgh Penguins hold the record with 17 straight wins in 92-93. And the fact that you've got two teams going head-to-head like this is pretty interesting. And, I mean, I was listening to John Tortorella earlier. He was talking about, you know, in the dog days of the season right now, you're just about at 40 games right now, when maybe sometimes there's not a whole lot to play for. This is kind of perfect timing for two teams to kind of get jacked and rally around something. And it, you know, it feels somewhat like a playoff game. Neither one of these teams want this streak to end. So, you know, for it to happen right now is pretty cool. And it's going to give the guys something to rally around just before the clock strikes midnight.
You know, it's funny with talking about that streak at 92-93, Pittsburgh Penguins, Mario Lemieux and company, and seeing all these Leaf alumni earlier today. Mm. I mean, 1993 was that great playoff run, and it just brings back, hammers home that all the forces were aligning in the right manner. Teams like the Pittsburgh Penguins had got knocked off, I believe, by the New York Islanders. I mean, the LA Kings, Montreal Canadiens, I mean, all these types of teams, it was... Other guys took care of heavyweights. The Leafs took care of the Detroit Red Wings in the first round. So the perfect storm was brewing, and unfortunately it brewed the Montreal Canadiens' way, because Pittsburgh Penguins had won a couple of two previous Stanley Cups and got knocked out. That shows what kind of powerful team they are. Minnesota Columbus, though, you know, the other night, Bruce Boudreaux, Minnesota Wild, they win. They score six goals, six different goal scorers, 15 different guys get at least 1 point, and both these teams have a lot of balance, but that just illustrates only three guys didn't get a point in that game.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, each of these teams are led by a potent offense. I mean, Columbus leads the NHL with 3.44 goals per game, and the Wild are fourth in the NHL in goals per game, but first in the Western Conference at 3.14. So add to that, the defense has been like really, really stingy. The Wild are allowing an NHL low 2 goals per game, while the Blue Jackets are second at 2.06. So when you add those two together, basically leading the NHL in offense and defense, at the end of the day, you understand why these teams are both undefeated as long as they have been.
Yeah, in Columbus's case, is a guy like Alex Wennberg coming into his own. But, you know, Zach Werenski, and as the Maple Leafs hope that Morgan Rielly can be that kind of stud on defense, it seems like, and Philadelphia's been happy with Provorov as well.
Yep.
But Zach Werenski is one of those guys, toughest position to play, I think, to learn, that should get some Calder Trophy consideration, even in a year where there's great forwards like Patrick Laine and Auston Matthews.
Oh, absolutely. Zach Werenski's been fantastic. And like you said, Gord, it's a little bit more difficult to play in the National Hockey League on the back end. You get exposed a little bit more. Your mistakes aren't hidden by or can't be covered up. Like they can if you're a center or a winger, where you rely back on your defenseman. If you get beat as a defenseman in the back end or make a mistake in an errant pass, that can end up in the back of your neck, back of your net, very quickly. As opposed to if you're a forward and you have a turnover in the offensive zone, you still have got a lot of backup behind you. The defense can take care of the goaltenders as well. But a defense, yes, that is a tough position. And the fact that he's played it so well as a teenager in the National Hockey League is, you know, for most parts unheard of. You don't really hear too much. You have to be a special player to be a teenager in the National Hockey League and play a full-time basis on the back end.
Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We are broadcasting live from Exhibition Place. Excited about the Centennial Classic that will be played tomorrow, and also enjoying and looking at an empty arena now, but it was pretty alive and raucous a few hours ago as the alumni game between the Toronto Maple Leafs, Detroit Red Wings alumni took place. We mentioned Montreal, Pittsburgh a bit. Edmonton, Vancouver. I mean, Connor McDavid is... Maybe this is the role model for Auston Matthews for Leaf fans, but I think it's understood Connor McDavid, more so probably the generational player of the last number of years, he's doing it. I mean, very quietly, this Edmonton Oilers team, even though they're not yet like in first place or killing everybody, but individually he's doing that.
Well, and they're in the mix, and that's what you want to be at this time of the year. You want to be able to make sure that your team is within striking distance or is in a playoff position right now, and Edmonton is that. But Connor McDavid, I mean, at the beginning of the season when he was off to that, just, I mean, I shouldn't say off to it. He still has maintained a nice pace, having 42 points. To this point of the season so far, this guy has been an incredible player, very dynamic, exciting to watch every single time. And like you said, we have Toronto has their own version of Austin Matthews right now. But this Connor McDavid does things at such an elite level at such a high speed. And he kind of, you know, the guy that I think emulates Connor McDavid a little bit more in Toronto is maybe a guy like Mitch Marner, who has just a ridiculous skill set and does it at such a high pace. So when McDavid is on the ice with the Edmonton Oilers, he's a threat to score every single time. Everyone was talking about McDavid maybe being an MVP player this year for the National Hockey League. Then all of a sudden, Sidney Crosby says, hang on a second, don't forget about me. I still think I'm the best player in the league. And he's come back to tie McDavid in the National Hockey League with points right now. So the fact that both these players are playing tonight and they're both tied in the NHL, something's got to give after tonight. But man, McDavid is an exciting player to watch, and Edmonton is sure lucky to have him.
Mitch Marner, by the way, one goal in his last 18 games.
But the point was, he's
well, nine shots the other night. But it's just interesting, you know. And he did score a big shootout goal, which doesn't count to your goal collection. But Austin Matthews endured a 10 goals scoring slump, and that goes the ebbs and flows. But as long as you're playing and get the shots in that, and certainly Mike Babcock is more important than anybody else. But he thinks they're doing that.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we talked about it before when Austin Matthews was going through his goal-scoring slump, and it seems like Mitch Marner is going through that a little bit as well. But at the end of the day, Mitch Marner is still getting points. He's being productive. He's setting his line mates up, making guys around him better. And the simple fact that Mitch Marner peppers nine shots on goal in one game and doesn't get rewarded in terms of scoring. He's getting opportunities. He's getting scoring chances. And it's just that, you know, it's just that everyone goes through these things during their hockey careers. A young teenager is going through it now. But he is playing unbelievable every night, and he's getting opportunities. And that's why there's no panic. There's no, because this isn't sustainable. He's not going to not score. He has so many chances every single game. And as long as he keeps getting shots on net and puts himself in proper situations to score, there's nothing to worry about Mitch Marner. The goals will come.
Well, a little more hockey talk, a little bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs getting set for tomorrow's game. You'll hear from some of the players this morning as they got the chance to skate here on the ice surface at Exhibition Stadium, getting ready for the Centennial Classic. And then a lot of fun interviews with Boreas Aming, Mike Pometier, Gary Roberts, Ally Afraidy, Steve Thomas, a lot of the Maple Leaf alumni who play. And I'll get to hear Gary Roberts' version about what happened, the exchange between him and Chris Draper near the end of the game that went on. And also, we do have another pair of tickets to give away next hour to the Heritage Classic to some listener to Hockey Nation. So that's what we got here. We're sitting here. It's kind of quiet. As we said, fans have left. It was a 4-3 win. Maple Leafs were down 3-0, came back, scored three goals to tie it, then a late goal by Chris Draper. They won the alumni game. We'll find out tomorrow what gives at 3 p.m. puck drop. We'll be on the airwaves at 12:30 with an extended version of Leafs Nation pregame. We'll be back with more live from the Centennial Classic. You're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now you have a reason to crack a cold one before the game. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Live from the Centennial Classic, you're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gord Stellick, Todd Halushko. Here we are, Exhibition Stadium, and of course, the site of the Centennial Classic tomorrow. A reminder, 3 p.m. puck drop, extended Leafs Nation pregame. We'll be on at 12:30, so we'll have a lot to chat about. This, Todd, is going to be kind of a fun time. By the way, another pair to give away. So yes, if you want to be down here tomorrow, we'll be giving another pair away sometime this hour of tickets to a fan listener for the Centennial Classic tomorrow. But this is where we went after the alumni game, waited there. It was interesting seeing the team come off because they were a little bit annoyed about the 4-3 loss. I mean, the goal late in the game.
Oh, yeah, it's a competitive nature in them. I mean, even the dressing room afterwards, it would have been a little more jubilant had they won, and they would have been talking about the winner by somebody else in Toronto. But these guys are all, as fun as the game is on the ice, you still want to win. That's just the way, that's the way you're bred. Professional hockey players never want to lose. And, yeah, they came into the dressing room, and you saw a couple long faces. But then after a couple cans of beer were cracked open, the guys were feeling a little bit better about themselves and a little bit easier to open up to us.
Well, we'll have fun. We'll go down memory lane. We heard a little bit from Gary Roberts playing in today's alumni game. Here he is, the feisty Gary Roberts, chatting with Todd and myself.
Gary, you know, interesting game today. A little bit of heated feelings between you and Drapes. I mean, that's just a little bit of the old rivalry heating up. Like, what happened out there?
Well, I just think, hey, it's 3-3 game. It's all fun and games till it's tight in the third period, and no one wants to be out there for the goal against or look silly. So, yeah, I got a little competitive, but it is what it is. Just, you know, it doesn't matter. I say what night I'm playing hockey, whether it's Monday night in Uxbridge or Thursday night in Stouffville with all my buddies. It's competitive, and it got competitive today, and unfortunately we ended up on the wrong end of the stick, which, you know, I got to say doesn't make me too happy, but like I say, I got my two sons in the game today, so I better do what I tell them to do. Be respectful. Be respectful and take the high road.
I personally loved it.
Quick one, Leafs-Detroit memories. Like, it was more came after you came to Leafs, but I'm curious what you remember.
Well, I just had Detroit Red Wings to that organization for as long as I've been part of the NHL, and after, they're a wonderful organization. Always, you know, how many years did they go making the playoffs? You know, when you're playing a Detroit team like that, they had a lot of stars on their team. And, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, for me, most of my memories came from being in playoff rounds with the Ottawa Senators. You know, not that the conference changed at that time, and Detroit and Toronto were no longer in the same conference, so it didn't have quite that rivalry that that Ottawa-Toronto had. But anytime you were playing the Wings, you knew you were in for a tough game.
Real quick, Rob, there's a little bit of a story about Nikita Zaitsev. We talked about it with you earlier. Great young defenseman with the Leafs. How's the relationship with him, and how did you become so tight with him?
Yeah, Dmitry Ruskevich called me and said, I've got this young Russian boy I want to send to you. And I said, okay, great. So I said, he sent him over, and I was looking. He wanted to stay in a hotel for the summer, and I looked at this 19-year-old, 20-year-old at the time, and I just said, there's no way you're staying in a hotel. I took him home to my wife and said, honey, he's going to stay with us for the summer. And he stayed with us for, I think, 6 weeks one summer, and 6 or 7 weeks the next summer. And for us, he was in the pool playing with the kids. He was part of our family. He really is a wonderful young man, and he told me at 19 years old that he was going to play in the NHL when he was 24. And so for me, I said, that's a great goal, and we kind of helped him get the, you know, the nutrition and the training underway for him. But it's really awesome for me to watch him play for the Toronto Maple Leafs after being part of our family for a couple summers. I've had the opportunity to meet his family through the World Cup in September. Wonderful family. So we're real happy for him, and it'll be special to be here tomorrow watching him play.
The guys all work hard in your thing. Then you see a senior citizen like Boreas Salming, never lifted a weight in his life and has a body like that. Give me a break.
Indian dog. It's amazing. Yeah, some guys just have those genetics, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I said to Dougie Gilmore. I said, yeah, genetics, buddy. But anyways, it's just to be part of this thing today, guys, what can I say? It's an amazing feeling. There's special memories in your career and your life that you go through, and this will be one for me.
Well, Gary Roberts, yeah, he kind of took the fifth a bit about with Chris Draper. Great question, though, about Zaitsev. And obviously a big part of why Zaitsev's, and Dmitry Ushkevich, another former Leaf, why he's here in Toronto.
Well, you know, Gary's been an influence to a lot of young hockey players that have come. They've come to him. They've asked about the nutrition factor, obviously his physical fitness that he teaches and stuff. I mean, he's cutting edge. And, yeah, the fact that he felt so close to Zaitsev, and, you know, talking with Gary, he says he almost felt like a father figure to Nikita Zaitsev. And there were situations where other teams were calling and asking about him. And he seems like he's a pretty proud guy that the Toronto Maple Leafs actually ended up signing him, and he's here and he's having success. Gary feels a big part of that.
Okay, a guy that really can't get serious. What do they call him? From outer verse, from another universe. Ally Frady, though. Smart guy, by the way.
Yes.
But one of my favorites. And we had a chance to talk to someone always a little bit on the lighter side, Ally Frady, chatting with Todd and myself. He grew up in Michigan, and I'm just curious, Joe Louis memories. You know, I know we talk about being a Leaf alumnus, but playing this team and memories playing in there.
Oh, geez, you know, my first experience with hockey was, you know, being a Detroit fan, being a young kid growing up in Detroit, and, you know, Mickey Redmond, Reed Larson, those were the guys, you know, on the wings when I was, you know, 10, 11 years old to start becoming a fan, you know, and then going down to the Joe and watching the wings, and I was a year or two younger than Iserman. Then you saw him get drafted, and then their team, you know, starting to manifest into something great. And, you know, then I get drafted by the Maple Leafs with all the young guys that were here, you know, and three or four of them played with today. And you know, when you're 18 and you look and you think, well, hey, when I'm 50, I'm going to get to play in this epic game that's the 100-year anniversary. I guess it's just like another, you know, I guess, dream that you couldn't, you know, even think up that would happen, and it happens, and you get to be part of it. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of surreal. It's great.
You know, one of the clips they showed, I mean, John Brophy wasn't the perfect coach for you at 18, 19, 20. I mean, God rest his soul this last summer. But they were showing some classic Demers and Brophy stuff. I forgot. There was a little bit of Slapshot behind the benches some of those series. I mean, I look back and smile, but it was a pretty almost out of control time sometimes, these battles.
Oh, it was great. You know, John and Jacques, you know, they were very passionate about how much they did not like each other. So it was pretty awesome, you know, then being part of those games where, you know, some of the, you know, hardest core hombres that ever played hockey were, you know, on the ice at the time. So, you know, living those wars and playing in those games where, you know, it was... Frankly, if you played for Brophy, was if you're not going to win on the scoreboard, you better take a chunk of something, you know what I mean, at the end of the game. So that was the mentality, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, what hockey is all about. You know, it's all about give it everything you got and leave everything on the ice. And, you know, today was a fun game as well, you know. We got close and went the wrong way, but it was still great to be part of it.
Hey, how excited would you have been if Robs and Drapes actually did drop the gloves tonight and be the first fight in an alumni hockey game? Were you secretly hoping for that?
That would have been great. And then to follow up the next faceoff, it was Domi and Koser were lined up next to each other. That would have been like a great main event, right? It was fun, you know. It's the competitive juices always start flowing when you're playing these games, and you think you've skated enough and worked enough to be in decent shape for them. But when you get out there playing against, you know, the best players in the world from the era we played in and best players of all time, you know, you still realize that, you know, there's guys that are going to do unbelievable things no matter what their age is. So it's just fun to be part of it.
Now, at the end of the day, what's the best part about doing these games?
I'd have to say it's kind of multifaceted in that, you know, you love the game. The game is your life and everything you have and you've gone through, and what's molded you into what you are is because of hockey. And just, you know, playing, seeing the guys that you played with, seeing guys that you aspired to be like, and then, you know, playing against guys that you get to see and played against when they were, you know, on other teams. I'd have to say just the acknowledgement that, you know, you were recognized as being a pretty good hockey player, because I guess to get invited to these, you know, well, there's a lot of guys they can pick from. So to get to play, you know, on the same ice with these guys again, is, you know, it's just a great honor. And, you know, Boria was a guy that I was like, wow, I want to be like him. And Ray Bourque was another guy. And, you know, in the last 2 years, I got to play in these games with both of those guys. So it's pretty neat.
Al, Happy New Year. Great seeing you.
Happy New Year. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, at the end, and he taught me the handshake.
Yeah,
he says him and Ray Bourque have the, you got to go the jelly fingers. You don't the exploding
jellyfish. Yes.
Yeah, about that. But
I always thought it was just an explosion or something. Let it explode. But he's like, no, jellyfish. Yeah, he's a unique guy, that's for sure. Now, it's funny because I had my first time that I ever met Al. We were both in the Washington Capitals organization, and Al had been came down to Baltimore where I was playing the American League. And that was the first time I got to know him. He had a hamstring problem. We ended up going to a Van Halen concert, and I mean, there was a lot of things that happened. He ended up sleeping over at my place with a buddy of mine that lived with us as well, Jim Matheson. And man, he's an interesting individual, let's just say that. But yeah, like you said, a very smart guy, and just an absolute, I loved watching when he played for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, one of my favorite players of all time with the Toronto Maple Leafs, so it was a privilege to be able to talk to him and see him again today.
Yeah, you know,
watching the game early on, Mike Palmateer got a penalty, stopped a penalty shot, and then was helped off the ice. His game was done basically in a couple of minutes. It ends up being a huge save on the penalty shot. He played for the first time 3 years ago in a long time in that alumni game. And, of course, you and I happened upon him, so we thought we would get the scoop about on the injury side, but also have a chat with one of the more popular Maple Leafs, goaltender Mike Palmateer, chatting with Todd and myself.
Okay, we're in the quiet room deep in the Gardens Infirmary here, that trying to get an up-to-date injury report. Mike Palmateer, hey, you went out in style. That was the Kirk Gibson home run, stopping the penalty shot like that.
Yeah, it was pretty good to do that. I got a penalty, I stopped a penalty shot, and got a shutout.
There you go. Hey, 3 years ago, you were the star of the game. It's good you spread it around a bit more.
Yeah, it's good. Now I think I have about a 35-year-old shutout going. So that's pretty cool.
The penalty, you look pissed off. But I remember you were great at that one.
But I mean, I had to. If I didn't take him out, he was going to have a wide open to dance in front of me, so I had to do it.
Now, I'll let Todd ask a question, but I want to know, Lee, so the 35-year shutout streak, I mean, what is it as far as the injury goes? Do you think he'll be back for the next alumni game when it happens?
I might be able to squeeze 2 or 3 minutes in. I'll still hang on to my old gear, and we'll see what happens. But and I'll get better. Ice is a wonderful thing.
Mike, I saw earlier I was in the dressing room with you guys, but you're changing with the current Leaf roster at the beginning for their pregame skate this morning, or the practice this morning.
Yeah.
And I know Anton Biebel was coming around. He'd taking a look at your pads and things like that. If you had their pads that they're wearing today back then, how much of a difference would that made for you?
Well, first of all, back if I was wearing them and grew up with them, first of all, I would be able to practice and try and get better. Because my whole life was trying to survive.
And you're still using the same ones,
really,
too, right?
Right. You know, the guys, you know, still shot pretty hard, and we didn't have good equipment. So it was about just getting through the practice. And lucky for me, most of the time I was the number one goalie, and you got a little bit more respect from your teammates. As the number two goalie, you got a lot more high, hard ones. So I was lucky that way.
You know, a guy that's not here, Roger Nielsen memories, and I always like that. I always smile when I think about that. He was ahead of his time. He was different. It was a special time.
Yeah, he was a great coach, and he understood. You know, from my point of view, I had bad knees, and everyone knew it. And I got to play right wing, fourth line in practice and days after games. That was pretty neat. And I think the year we beat New York Islanders, I broke my finger in the first day of practice, and I didn't have to practice for 6 weeks. But he knew I was going to be okay for games, you know. And he played a great defensive style, which, if you're a goalie, it's nice to have that style in front of you.
Well, like in the Roger days, you came up big again today. Mike, happy new year. All the best.
Thanks, Gord. Good to see you again.
And, you know, part of the thing was back in the Maple Leaf Gardens days, he'd always would grab a big bag of popcorn. They had a woman named Popcorn Millie, they called her. Make big
popcorn
bags.
Popcorn Millie?
Popcorn Millie. Her name was Millie. She made popcorn, put it together. And so Mike would get some of the hot stuff, just put in one of those trays you carry drinks. And that was part of his diet before every Toronto Maple Leaf
sounds
game.
Sounds like your diet and my diet.
Well, except we didn't go out be the number one goaltender 4 or 5 years.
Good point.
It wasn't a long time, but it really was a good time for Mike Palmateer.
Well, no, and it's funny because he's just he's a diminutive goaltender, and you don't see those guys nowadays in the National Hockey League. And Mike is, I mean, that's the first time I really met him was with that interview with you, and seems like a very soft-spoken guy. You would know him better than I do, obviously.
He was a little cocky as a goaltender, as he should be. It actually was one of his strengths.
Good,
But, yeah, he actually turned into a real good scout, worked hard at it, became a real good NHL scout.
And you know, I got a kick out of it. We asked him a little bit about his goalie gear and his hockey pads and stuff. I mean, when I was looking at him again right there, those are no bigger than my shin pads nowadays in my beer league. And the fact that he was wearing those in his heyday, but he made a point to it. He says the guys didn't shoot the puck quite as hard, but I mean, when you look at that, if you can imagine the goaltenders today wearing the pads that he was wearing today on a full-time basis, maybe the score in the National Hockey League would go up immensely.
We wandered around. It was kind of neat. Went inside wandering around, and Steve Thomas was there, looked deep in thought, and he'll talk about his job with the St. Louis Blues now that, you know, he's working way harder than he ever imagined. Hockey is not the sort of the easy game like it was all the years ago when he played. But Steve Stumpy Thomas, we had a chance to chat with him as well, with Todd Olusko and myself.
Let's talking to Steve Thomas now. I remember we had the one, I got to behind the 2004, 13,000 Joe Louis Arena. You were at that one, right? Remember that? The Leaf during the lockout year? Were you at that one at Joe Louis Arena? Or
you know what? I don't even remember. I'm like 53 right now. I've lost
Like, I can't remember anything anymore.
Well,
I don't know if I was or not.
Okay, sure. So I believe it. But the other one is I'm thinking about Joe Louis, isn't it? Joe Louis Arena Memories. And it's interesting. You were there for a little bit. Got to know Steve Yzerman well. That. But what do you think about Leaf, Joe Louis Arena the last year? What hits you?
Well, just, you know, the rivalry that Toronto had with Detroit. It was just, you know, there were so many great things happened for the Leafs, so many good things that happened for the Red Wings. And you know, the games were so intense, and there was such a rivalry. And you just knew that you had to be ready to play every night against Detroit because, you know, any time you'd see Kosher and Probert roll over the boards, it's just you had to make sure that you knew who was on the ice when you were playing. So it was there were tough games, very tough games.
You know, so I'm watching from, I know you watch from afar, but this team reminds me of you guys, a bunch of young guys. I mean, you were from Toronto, but Russ Courtnell, even Danny Hudson, Jeff Jackson, Todd Gill, Ally Afraidy, Alan Bester, young guys full of piss and vinegar, you know, for a couple of years. And do you see that a little bit in the 2016 Toronto Maple Leafs?
I do. You know what? If they, you know, Babcock's put a good system together for them. If they buy into that system and they play hard every night, they have the skill that's as good as any team in the league, and they can be really successful. I'm quite excited to watch them play as we go forward here. It's not going to happen this year. It might happen in a couple of years, but they've got a good nucleus of young players that can make a difference.
Steve, is there a young Steve Thomas on this current Leaf roster that reminds you of you?
I have had my head buried in a computer watching our video in St. Louis, so it's hard for me to watch a whole lot of hockey. I watch it occasionally when, you know, if it's on between periods and stuff like that. But this guy here, Leo Komarov, plays a little bit like me, I think. He's a pretty, like, I like to think that I, like, played a bit of a hard-nosed type of game and finished checks and got in on a forecheck, and I think he does the same thing.
I remember you talked, you know, your career ending, and very passionately, you wanted to come back to Toronto. You got a tryout. Not really a great, fair tryout. Meanwhile, a guy named Mike Babcock, they'd offer you another year with the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, they have a special connection that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mike was great. When I played in Anaheim, we got a chance to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and being a guy that was 41 years old at the time, he knew that my family was back in Toronto, and he came to me every single day and asked me if everything was okay, if I wanted to take a day and fly home to see my family. And he was just really good to me, and I appreciated that a lot.
Happy New Year. All the best. Good seeing you. Let you get back to your computer. I don't remember that on the plane. I remember you playing cards or something, but not that.
Yeah, it's like, everything.
See, I remembered at the end that he talked about his friendship with Mike Babcock and the fact that he had such a positive experience, trade deadline pickup with the Anaheim Ducks, and then in Detroit, he got offered a contract of sorts but took a tryout with the Maple Leafs. He doesn't bite anymore because he's a classy guy, but he felt, well, and others close to him, that he kind of got a bill of goods from John Ferguson that, you know, he never really had a chance. He should have taken the sure thing in Detroit, but his family wanted to stay in Toronto.
Well, that tells you how he felt about the Toronto Maple Leafs and about the organization as a whole. And, I mean, every time that Steve Thomas took the ice, you knew what you were getting every single time. He never took a night off, never took a shift off. And I'm sure that's what he's doing nowadays with his work with St. Louis right now. And as he spoke, he's so busy. He doesn't have a lot of time to concentrate on other teams because he's so busy with his own. But that just speaks to the professionalism as a hockey player. And now he's transformed that into the world of working in the administrative side of things with hockey right now. And Steve Thomas is awesome. And I love the fact that he compared himself to Leo Komarov when we asked him.
Yeah.
And that is a very good comparison. Two guys that are gritty, that bring it every single night. So it was a kind of a nice comparison when we asked him.
Yeah, Steve's a little better interview than Leo Komarov, with all due respects. I know Leo can speak a lot of languages. You know, it was fun. Like I just said, we kind of just walked around. It wasn't like guys were being brought out to the podium. And one of the guys we saw first off, Dave Ellett, and a big part of that 1993 run, you think of Cliff Fletcher. Well, first of all, Floyd Smith brought in Bob Rouse and Dave Ellett. Cliff Fletcher brought in Jamie McCowan and Sylvain Lefebvre and Dmitry Mironov that went with Todd Gill. That was kind of the only holdover in that group. And Todd Halushko, myself, we had a chance to chat with Dave Ellett.
Okay, was there a moment there that you saw Nikolai Borshevsky putting the goal in overtime, that kind of moment?
Well, they actually played that replay quite a few times on the big board, so that was certainly, when you look back at Toronto, Detroit, when that puck went in, that was, you know, obviously personally being involved in the game, but I think that was a big goal that a lot of Leaf fans will always remember.
I like this game. This game kind of had overtime, right? It was kind of quiet, and then all of a sudden you guys started coming back, and there was some real buzz and piss and vinegar at the end.
Well, typical, these alumni games sort of start slow, and then you know, a team gets behind, and it's like, well, hey, listen, we got to get back in this hockey game. But certainly the third period, there was a lot of energy. Almost had our first outdoor alumni scrap there, so it was good.
Dave, what's the best thing about these outdoor classics? You've done a few already, but is it just getting together with the guys and lying to each other in the dressing room? Like, what's the best part about it?
Well, for me it is, you know, this one, I was fortunate enough to do Winnipeg and this one, and, you know, there's some guys that I haven't seen in 20 years, so when you get a chance, and we had a special day today. The current Leafs actually were changed in here, and we got to spend time with them and meet the new young Leafs. So, you know, it's just been real fun. But, you know, the game is a good time, but meeting all the ex-teammates and former guys that you grew up watching has been outstanding.
Was it pretty cool? I was in here as well, and the young guys were coming around and asking you guys for autographs, had their sticks going out, and getting all the legends autographs.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
No, it was, like I said, we got the invite to come here this morning, and I think the idea of having you know, the current team and the former team and the alumni dressing in the same dressing room, it, you know, it was good for us, really enjoyable. But I think the younger guys, you know, quite a few of them are from the Toronto area too. So, you know, they grew up watching some of the guys in here. So I think they enjoyed it too.
And so, Dave, the last one is, what tip could you give those guys? What was the letter? Was it the R on the Mr. Sub on the ad that you used to try to bounce ricochet it perfectly and getting it to Glenn Anderson, those guys in front?
Actually, we skated yesterday at the New Gardens, or whatever you want to call them, Atomy Center, and I tried it, and not the same boards.
No Mr. Sub ad either, I guess that thing.
Yeah, there was a perfect spot there. Rob Ramage actually showed me that in practice one time, so yeah, it worked a few times.
Happy New Year, Dave. Great seeing you.
Yeah, happy New Year, you guys and everyone.
Yeah, memories of playing in Toronto. I remember that Mr. Sub sign well. And he said to us after, I didn't think you'd remember that, but, you know, I remember all the irrelevant stuff, right?
You remember everything, yes. You know, the thing about Dave that I remember, too, is just whenever he was playing for the Leafs, he was Mr. Reliable all the time. Like, you just stick him on the ice when you needed to make sure the puck was out of your zone. He could play the power play, had some offensive ability, but he was just Mr. Reliable all the time and just a solid pillar of strength back there for the Toronto Maple Leaf defense. And, you know, it's interesting asking him as well what he likes the best about being in these types of games. And the same thing, that I wasn't surprised. It's coming back and seeing all the guys again and reminiscing and, like we said, lying to each other in the dressing room. There's nothing better than that when you can lie to your teammates about what's going on in your life or something that happened in the past. So Dave Ellett, just a class act. It was great talking with him.
Now, how about this one? I mean, Boreas Aming is 65. He's collecting his pension. Now, I'm not, but his body's absurd. Boreas Aming never lifted a weight, okay? That was like that was all natural. I mean, don't get me wrong. He did a lot of things. He worked out, but he wasn't anything in the weight room in that. And he's got such a presence. I always feel honored about him being a friend and having been able to watch him play so many shifts over the years. So we had a chance. He wasn't here 3 years ago, so this was a huge plus, him being able to make it back, and Todd and myself catching up with the one and only Hall of Famer, Boreas Aming.
You know, you get back a lot. You don't get to play these games a ton. You weren't there 3 years ago, so what was it like?
It was nice. You know, I got some words. They were going to go like crazy out there. I said, oh, my God. And then I haven't skated too much. I skated for a week ago. That's all I've been skating in the Hall of Fame weekend. So I'm not really 100%. You know, my knees are aching a little bit. But today was okay. And there was a good game, I think.
Now, the fun part, but then when does everyone get a little pissed off? When does it become a little real out there?
Well, some of the guys got really mad, but I mean, no, these are games, you know. Now, I mean, that's it for me anyway. So I'm just going to play hockey and have fun and have fun with the boys.
Last year of Joe Louis Arena, obviously, well, that's where you got cut. That's a bad memory. Yeah. I remember that one. But also, Norse Division rivals. And what do you remember when you think of Joe Louis Arena?
Well, I mean, always there was battles every time when we got in there. And then they had tough teams, and we had tough teams. So, fun games, you know. You always remember those games, and you never forget it.
A lot of young kids now. And people talk about Toronto, place to play again. When someone says to Boreas Aming,
What's it like to play? What's it like to be a Toronto Maple Leaf? What do you tell them?
Well, I mean, be a Toronto Maple Leaf. I mean, when I was here playing here, and everybody got traded here, you know, that was their dream to play for Toronto Maple Leafs. And I mean, playing for Toronto, that's mecca of hockey, you know, believe it or not.
Well, you made it the mecca of hockey. And now, okay, I've read your barbecue cooking book. I saw the Boya Somming underwear ads years ago, the equipment, all the thing. I mean, you're a guy, you're kicking butt in Sweden, all that stuff. What's Boya Somming doing now?
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing now. We're into running now. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. So it's going to come over here, too. And it's over here, too, now. But you know, I think you're going to see Somi a little bit more, too.
Well, that's good. I'll have seen Boya Somming. Thanks very much, Boya. Very happy New Year.
Thank you, and happy New Year, too.
Well, that was it. The one and only. Great to have him back in the building. I mean, unbelievable. That was the old commercial about a 30-year-old Canadian was in the same shape as a 60-year-old Swede. I think nowadays, the Boya Somming, he puts everybody to shame that way.
He's got genetics on his side, kind of the same way that you and I do as well with our physiques right now. Boya Somming is obviously, to everyone in Toronto that ever grew up a Leaf fan, is one of the all-time greats. And, man, it sure is good to see him come back here, play in the Centennial Classic. And still be able to skate like he can. Like you said,
yeah.
for the age that he is.
I think
right
he
now,
was born with skates. I think he came out to shoot and he had skates on.
He looks fantastic out there and off the ice. Again, he could put any 20 or 30-year-old to shame with the type of shape that he's in right now.
He was asking about Jim McKenney, too, and he was hoping Jim would join them in the social thing tonight. I hope he does.
Yep.
Jim McKenney, always a favorite, and Boria and him were very, very tight when it all started in Toronto. Well, it was fun today, catching up with a lot of the Toronto Maple Leaf alumni. Of course, we didn't give away the tickets, so that means we'll be giving them away next half hour, another pair of tickets to a fan listener for tomorrow's Centennial Classic. Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko, here we are at our exhibition stadium broadcast booth setup, live from the Centennial Classic. You're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back. Exhibition Place, the broadcast booth. Kind of empty, kind of quiet. Still, the lights are bright out here for Gord Stelick, Todd Alushko, our man Matt Brown, Emil Delich, everybody. Of course, David Bastil here before, Roger Lajoie here before. And live from the Centennial Classic, you're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Of course, they'll be a part of our broadcast tomorrow as well. We're on 3 p.m. for a puck drop between the Leafs and the Red Wings on our Centennial Classic. 12:30, we'll have an extended coverage of a Leafs Nation pregame going on. And we still have a pair of tickets to give away to tomorrow's game. We'll be doing that in the next few minutes. But Todd, let's hear from the coach first of all. Find out Mike Babcock. Of course, he 3 years ago was on the opposing side with the Detroit Red Wings. Here's Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, a little longer pregame press conference getting set for the Centennial Classic.
Mike, saw a lot of your players mingling there with the alumni. What do you hope they take from that kind of experience?
Well, I just think it's an unbelievable opportunity for our franchise. We have a lot of great players that have gone before these guys, and you know, we're hoping to restore our franchise to its rightful place. We're working on that. I think when you get to rub elbows with those guys and you see the pride they have in the uniform and being a Leaf and how important it was to them, I think it's a great message for our young guys.
Mike, you come into this game riding a pretty good little stretch here. What do you like most about your team coming in?
Well, I like that we're winning. I mean, I'm not sure. Winning's a fine line. I'm not sure there's that much difference between what we're going through just before we started winning here and what we've done. You know, we had our best segment so far and made up points, so you know, it helps us in a couple of previous segments. We're 3 points off of where we hope to be, and our team's playing better without the puck. We still managed to do some silly things with it. We've taken way too many penalties in our last 5 games, so we got to clean that up and take care of our sticks way better and recover with our feet instead of reaching. But all in all, we're in a good spot, and you know, I think we had a real good day yesterday and a special day here today, and now it's time to get ready to play.
Hey, Coach, right over here, Adrian with City News. You were part of the big game at the Big House. Looking at it from a hockey perspective, with all the outdoor games that have been played, do you feel like these events kind of lose their luster a little bit? Would you rather play it in a controlled environment?
No, I don't feel that at all. Like, When it's your own team, you don't feel like that. When you're watching other teams, maybe you feel like that. Oh, there's too many of these. But when it's your own team, it's a chance of a lifetime. This is my third one. We did one at Wrigley Field, one at the Big House, and then one here. They're all special in their own way. And the most special thing about it is you get to share it with the alumni. You get to share it with your franchise. You get to share it with your fans. But you get to share it with your family and be around it and have a celebration of the game. And I think that makes it beyond special.
Mike, you got a very young team. This is a big moment early in their careers. What's your sense of their ability to, because I'm sure you want them to soak it in, and yet there is a real game tomorrow as well.
Well, I want them to soak it in for sure. You can't be all wound up about the game right now anyway. It just wears you out. It's a waste of time. We'll get organized and prepared. Now, when you get out there, do you try to do too much? Yeah, that's the biggest fear. It's not just do your own job. If you do your own job, we have a chance to be great together. You start doing too much, we're going to look bad together. So just do your own job, do it right, do your little part, and that's what usually happens. Now, taking care of the puck will be my biggest concern tomorrow. Are we trying to do too much? We'll see how that goes.
Mike, John Warrell with the Associated Press. From a historical perspective, to see Borja Salming and Nick Lidstrom on the same ice surface together, and just what Borja may have meant to Nick and what he taught, and to European players, coming into the league.
Well, I never asked Nick about that, to be honest with you. Borja Salming, for me, growing up, was my favorite Leaf. I thought he was an unbelievable player and warrior. Just incredible, actually. And then to get a chance to coach Nick, a special, special man. Player you'll see today, he's good enough to play right now in the National Hockey League for sure. Could play for sure in anybody's top four in the National Hockey League without trying. So those are special players. But I think for those guys as well, it's a special day for those guys. They're going to have a riot today. I just know all the Leafs there. I've been talking to them for a while here. For me, it's special. I coached Darcy Tucker, I think, the first time in an under-17 program. He must have been 16. He's just a little kid. Caber played for me. Brian McKay played for me in Spokane. And then yesterday they're introducing me to their kids. Danny Markoff, I play with, he tells me yesterday he can still play for our team. He probably can. I mean, they're special people, and it's a different phase of their life, but they get to walk down memory lane here. I think it's special, but it'll be great for Nick and Borja.
As a follow-up, just what did Borja mean to you and maybe to the Leafs back in the 70s?
Well, I just think he was an exceptional, exceptional player, intelligent, good offensively and defensively. I could take a beating like no one I ever seen in my life. Like, just kept coming and didn't back up an inch. I thought he was, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Daryl Sittler and those guys, but to me, when I was watching, he was the player.
Mike, Levo seemed to get some good time on the power play today at practice. Is there any lineup changes you're planning?
No, he just because we were using Brownie on the penalty kill, so that's what we've been doing. Levo's a real good power play guy. Normally what we'd do is Brownie would do the pregame skate on the power play, but we never had that. We don't have a pregame skate tomorrow. We wanted to work on our penalty kill and our power play. Things are both important, so that's how we did it.
Mike, what kind of impact, as you look ahead, can what you guys just did on the road have on this team? Two before the break, come back, two after the break. The immediate impact is the points, but what about going forward here, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, Dan. Like, I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about this. This is what I do know, is if we get better today, we have a chance to do good things. We get better again tomorrow. And so the points all look after themselves. When we weren't winning, and everyone's a little nervous we're not winning, I thought we were playing good. So when we found a way to get points here and we didn't play quite as good, I know how we played. So I just keep even keel, steady on the rudder. Let's just keep getting better. And if we keep getting better, you can see we got good young players. And we're going the right direction. Is it going to keep going the right way, or are we going to stay healthy, knock on wood? I don't know the answer to that, but it doesn't hurt your confidence for sure, and it makes it more fun. Yeah, I like winning.
Mike, how would you assess Austin's development over the first 3 months of his NHL career? And looking down the road, where would you like to see him continue to grow as a player?
Well, he's good. He's really good. He wants to be great. He's getting very good without the puck. He's got to be way better in the face-off circle. He will get better in that area. He's just going to get better. He's going to get quicker through the neutral zone. He's going to play with more pace. He's going to understand more. He's just going to get better. And saying that, it doesn't matter who you play him against or what situation, you just play him. He's good at the start. I looked after him a bit. I don't look after him at all anymore.
Well, he's mentioned the family skate. We've been able to watch some of that. Been going on, different things, going out with your family and kids. That's part of it. I know talking to other guys, they've enjoyed the same kind of thing. But we got ourselves a hockey game tomorrow, and he's still a little focused on that too, which is good.
Well, yeah, he's focused on it. And I like the fact that one of the guys were asking him, or one of the reporters was asking him about, does he feel like this is, you know, overblown? There's too many Centennial Cups or Centennial Classics or Winter Classics. And Mike Babcock's response to that was, no, I mean, as long as you're the team that's playing, it's always new, it's always fresh, it's something that's exciting. And maybe from the media and the fans' point, maybe there's a lot of them. But when these kids are playing for the very first time, it's exciting, and families love it, and we like watching it. So Mike Babcock is focused on us, but at the end of the day, he knows it's all about 2 points, and they've got to get the 2 points tonight, tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what, we do want to hear from Austin Matthews as well, but why don't we give away a pair of tickets right now? We got a chance, all the excitement, the alumni game, and of course, you'll be able to hear us tomorrow, but a chance for some lucky caller to give away a pair of tickets. Why don't we want to give it to the 100th caller?
The 100th caller?
Yeah, no. Just getting back there. We'll make it the 10th caller. How about that? 10th caller now at 870-0590. Star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. You just want to give it, you know, the people that answer the phones. Matt Brown, when he used to do that job, he would pretend you were the 100th caller, first person. Okay, so there's ways around it, but this time we know there'll be honesty.
Maybe
as far
as
call.
Maybe we can give the tickets to that guy that's blowing snow outside. He can stop it.
I think he'll be
right
back
now.
Blowing snow tomorrow.
Exactly.
Looks like great weather again tomorrow, but Austin Matthews, he got to enjoy some great weather in Arizona over the break. That's one of the things he said he was looking forward to. But, boy, red hot, on fire. Let's hear what he had to say heading into tomorrow's game.
Austin, we talked about how your experience outdoors isn't the same type of upbringing as the other guys have. But you mentioned watching games growing up. This event, just not being outdoors or anything, to be able to be a part of this on New Year's Day and everything like this, is this kind of, in your first season, one of these welcome to the NHL moments? You can put it in terms that way?
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of like one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. So, you know, you kind of get that. You're playing outdoors, two original six teams, a lot of history behind both franchises, so it's definitely an exciting time.
You've spent a lot of time in Ann Arbor, so I guess if you look at it, I know Arizona last week is the big homecoming for you, but was there any association with the Red Wings with the time you spent in Michigan?
Not too much. I mean, I made it to a couple games when I was there, but, you know, we're pretty busy with our season and everything, so. But, you know, they're always fun to watch, you know, when they had Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Lidstrom, all those guys, so it's definitely a team I like watching growing up, too.
You mentioned Zetterberg. It's, I guess, for a welcome to the NHL moment, as we talked about, your first game was a pretty good indication of that. But as the seasons went on, and this stretch you're in right now, probably the best of your young NHL career, is all of a sudden playing against guys like Zetterberg and Crosby and Getzlaff, are those the moments where you can see that you're comfortable and you're going to be a guy that can play every night and compete in this league?
Yeah, it gives you a lot of confidence. I mean, I think I've said this before. I mean, I feel comfortable playing against anybody out there. I think, you know, throughout the season, the coaching staff's really been on me with defensive positioning and just positioning without the puck, and I think that's been my biggest improvement so far this year. So for me, I just want to continue to get better and fix those little things and continue to be dominant and just continue to get better.
Lost in all this big, I guess, outdoor game is 4 straight wins, 5 on the road. Is this a point in the season where you can see this team starting to take a stride with so many new faces and all of a sudden gelling together?
I think so. I mean, we're kind of at the point where I think we're kind of figuring it out as a team. Young guys continue to develop. I mean, we're addressing 8 rookies, but guys are really coming together. So it's definitely positive for us. We just want to continue to get going.
Okay, great to hear from Austin Matthews. I'll tell you what, we got a few that we'll have on tomorrow, but why don't you hear Leo Komarov? He's got an interesting story. You know, he mentioned Steve Thomas, compared him, Leo Komarov, to a Steve Thomas-type player, which is a pretty good compliment. Here's Leo Komarov, kind of a unique story about skating outdoors.
So what are the memories of playing outdoors when you were a kid, I guess, then?
That's good. I grew up outdoor because we didn't have an ice hall at all, so I didn't play outside until I was 16. So for me, it is a huge event, and it's going to be nice to play because, like I said, I play hockey outside.
So you're 16, so how old were you when you started playing hockey then?
Five. Okay, yeah. So I played every day outside because where I grew up, we didn't have a chance to get an ice hall, and I think when I moved back from back home, they got into 2010 or 2009. So my brothers are playing. They didn't really play outside. So for me, it's different. Like, I know it's always nice, and it was cold when I grew up. So today was great to skate finally, and it's nice.
Yeah, so would you put this one in one of the bigger moments in your career then, to be able to play in the NHL outdoors after growing up playing outdoors?
Yeah, of course. This is going to be one of the best memories. But I have one with the international team against Russia too in Helsinki. But this is, you know, a little bit high classer. It's strong. And they do always the best, so it's going to be nice.
How was the ice out there today for you?
It's great. It was really good. It's a little bit kind of different, you know, like you're looking around and you see all.
I guess the eye black is the big one there. Jake was saying how he doesn't know if it works or not. Do you need to wear, a guy that played 11 years growing up outdoors, do you need to wear anything extra to stay warm when you're out there, or are you just well-fitted for it?
I'm good. But of course, like, I remember playing in Finland with minus 18, so we have to wear a lot of stuff, but we'll see how it's going to be tomorrow. Hopefully it's going to be like it was today.
Okay, yeah, no, Leo Komarov talking about his experiences of playing outdoors. It's really interesting that he didn't play in an indoor rink till the age of around 16 years old. And the fact, it's pretty interesting, Gord, because I actually had an opportunity to go play in Finland for a couple of years with the Canadian national team, and I experienced those outdoor rinks. And in Finland, man, it was cold out there, and it was really cold. So I'm imagining that tomorrow, Leo Komarov is going to feel pretty comfortable playing in an environment that's outside that he's used to and not quite as cold.
And a reminder, tomorrow, 3 p.m. start, the Centennial Classic. Of course, all the action right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will be on the air with an extended, very much extended, Leafs Nation pregame beginning at 12:30. And we'll hear from, you know, some of the players, current players like Nylander, Gardner, and others, and some of the alumni as well. That was a lot of fun today chatting with the likes of Borja Sommig and company.
Yeah, that was awesome. And again, anytime that you get a chance to come back and play with old teammates, see old buddies, it's awesome. And you can feel it in that dressing room. Everyone's just smiling, coming up and catching up with each other. Pretty cool. And you know, when you're a professional athlete, it's a really, really neat feeling.
11 games going on tonight. Of course, the marquee matchups, Montreal Canadiens in Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby, Vancouver in Edmonton, Connor McDavid. That's all coming up on CBC and Hockey Night in Canada. So, a unique Hockey Nation from Exhibition Stadium. You've been listening to Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Todd Olusko from the Centennial Classic. You're listening to Hockey Nation, brought to you by President's Choice on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. We'll catch you tomorrow with Leafs Nation pregame at 12:30.